Okay, so this morning we're going to continue this theme that's been going on since we started this year. As we know that this is the year of increase, I want to talk to you this morning the goal of intimacy with God. I want to talk about the goal of intimacy. That should be our goal, you know, and to grow that more and more and more. And Dino gave us some real practical things that we begin with. So I'm going to learn from him, and we're going to flow from the same thought here. But I think it's more than just flowing from one another. I think the Holy Spirit is really wanting to get a message here. And I think the word is intimacy and His presence and to know Him and to love Him. But I want to open up again, and I've been doing this for almost all the messages I've been sharing, but I think it's one of the key scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, as Pastor Joseph declared that. And he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So we want the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here, the key words here are grace, love, and communion. I've also been reading Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17. I'm going to do that again one more time. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17, he says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.'" And this is a key verse here. Verse 16, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So if you recall a little bit, we talked about preparation. We talked about a few dimensions of increase and what we're looking for. Now, I want you to pick up this key word for today. It will be the heart. Okay, so turning the hearts. That's one of the key words that I want to emphasize today. But the key to the introduction, if what we've been doing in the past few weeks and in the past, is the spirit and the power of Elijah. This ministry takes place during the last days, on and before, until the great day of the Lord, which is the second coming of the Lord, of Jesus, all right? That was the first point we mentioned. And the spirit and power of Elijah, we mentioned and we established, that was the Holy Spirit. So what began in Elijah continued on. Elisha continued on, and here John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and that ministry will continue until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is working mightily, preparing a people ready for when Jesus returns. Amen. So we are a people that is being made ready for God. All right, so this is what we talked about, and I'm just going to read a quote that I did. It says, "The man may be buried, but the ministry continues. The worker may be buried, but the work continues." Okay, so the same Holy Spirit, okay, is still operating, and there's just going to be an increase of this outpouring of the Spirit, which we've been hearing on and on and on and on. We also talked about how do we know? How do we know? The question is, how do we know that a people are being prepared? And there are two things here. When many hearts turn to the Lord God. And number two, when the hearts of the fathers turn to the hearts of their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, both spiritually and naturally. But what we've been focusing on so far is not point number two yet, but we're going to focus on point number one. And that is when many hearts turn to the Lord God. That's my cry. I want my heart to turn to the Lord God first and foremost before anything else. One of the messages that I think I've shared a lot in the past, and that's always been, I suppose, something that's very, very been very meaningful to me, is the message on the power of one. how to be one, how to be united, how to work together, and how to finish together. And but something that I realize more and more, and I think I'm seeing this more than ever before, is that the thing that I missed was that the key to the unity within the body was that first, we as a people will be one, that our hearts will turn to the Lord God. And so I want to emphasize on this first, because if we don't capture the message in point number one, in this many hearts will turn to the Lord, when we talk the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, that doesn't become a very pleasant message, all right? But when we understand point number one, our hearts first and foremost turn to the Lord God, then the succeeding messages become a little bit easier to understand, because we understand that our hearts are turning to the Lord. Last message that I shared, I'm just going to just summarize a few things here. What is the ultimate purpose for every believer? What is the greatest call for every single one? Right? And we know that there's many things where there's, you know, we talked about extending the kingdom of God being and all that stuff and signs and wonders and miracles and casting out demons and winning souls. And all of this is this great purpose of God. But before we can function well, the first thing is to know the person, the person of God, to know His presence, His character and nature. And I'm just going to verbalize some of the things we've already covered. Is it about the place? Is that more important? Is it the power that's more important? The performance, the provision, the prosperity, the pleasures of life, the popularity, the promotions, and the promises. Now, I believe that they're all very, very important. They're very biblical. But we established that the main thing was the very person of God, that we want to know God as a person primarily before everything else. And that is something that I believe is a message for everybody, and that no matter what stage we are in our Christian walk with the Lord, it is a very, very vital message for us to lock into. And here I'm just going to, again, this is just a summary of what we've already heard, nothing new so far. Dino shared the last week the beginning of the maturity process, how to grow in this love, how to grow as mature sons. And he gave us four things. It says this, number one, begins with a declaration of love. Number two, it begins by receiving His word. Number three, it begins by setting our priorities. And number four, it begins with a paradox of grace, that we may be weak, but yet God still loves us, but it's sincere love, okay? Now we might be able to touch a little bit on this today. But here are some simple, practical things that Dino gave to us last week that we can start doing. Now, I'd like to kind of take one step back, all right? Before we can make a declaration of love, before even receiving His word, okay, there's something that I need to understand. And this is where now I start, okay? So you ready for the 4 points for this morning? I just want to share 4 points. So we're talking about the goal of intimacy, and that should be your goal, and that should be my goal. I haven't reached, I'm still running for it, I'm still going for it. Just like in the Song of Solomon, draw near, you know, draw me to you, and I will run after you. This is the desire of our hearts. We want to run after God. That's our desire. But the first thing that it begins with is the revelation. It begins with the revelation of God's love. The mere fact that we're born again, that we've received Jesus, was that we realized the greatness of His love for us, obviously His holiness, but also His love, that He would go to the point of death to set us free. That Jesus would die for your penalty and my penalty, for the sins of the whole entire world. A people who could not help herself, but God would intervene and take us out from darkness and bring us into His marvelous light, even when we did not deserve it. God extended His hand and made provision for us. So we thank God for this revelation, isn't that right? Amen. Amen. That's Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the Savior and the King. In John chapter 17, verse 26, it says this. Jesus is praying, and this is how He concludes this prayer, and He said, I pray And I have declared to them your name, it's Father God's name, and will declare it that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, what this verse is saying is the same way that Father God loves Jesus is the same way that God loves us. So it's saying the intensity, the passion, and this love of God for Jesus is the same way that God loves you and for me, loves you and me. All right, so it begins with that revelation that, wow, this is how much God loves me. We all know this, the greatest commandment in the scripture. It says it is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We know that very well. It's from Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 down to verse 40. That was the greatest and the first and the greatest commandment. But you see, God would not ask us to do something that He Himself would not do. That means if He asks us to love Him with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, He Himself loves us with all of His heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because if He didn't do that, and He's asking us to do this, that would go against His nature and His character. And God would not do that. Therefore, God loves us with all of His spirit, with all of His heart, with all of His mind, with all of His soul, and with all of His strength. Song of Solomon, the whole book of Song of Solomon, is an expression of this love for us. It shows and demonstrates the intensity of the love of God. It was the love of God that initiates me to love Him back. It is because He first loved us. Amen? So that's point number one. I can only love Him because He first loved me. I don't know what love is. He showed me what love. He is love. He is the very pure definition of love. He Himself is love. Anyway, so this is point number one. It begins with a revelation of God's love. So we gotta lock in this truth. Now, this is a truth, not just a fact, or not just a, well, this is a fact as well, but it's not just some idea. This is what the Bible says. He loves us. So it begins with that. So I want to pray this morning, make a declaration. We really want to open our hearts and do you know, even though we know that God loves us, I know that God loves me, but I know there's a greater truth and revelation in that I've yet to see that would really, really move me and really cause my life to change. So I want to pray this. Let's pray this together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your love. Thank You for the intensity of Your love. I want to love You. I want to know You. I want to discover more. Give me the understanding, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in who You are to love You more and more. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We want to keep having a revelation of His love, to keep it fresh. Amen. Number two, the next thing that comes is the sincerity of the heart. That means the sincerity of my heart, the sincerity of our hearts. So first I need to know that He loves me. And once I know this, I'll respond to His love, but my love must be sincere. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I'm going to read quite a number of verses for this point. It says this in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." I'm going to stop there, okay? God's eyes, He's going to and fro. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal. He's not saying that you attend every services, not that He's checking that kind of stuff. I mean, even though I think this is important that we are committed, but He wants us to be more than just physically present. He wants us to, our hearts to be loyal. That means when we are here, our hearts are loyal to Him. John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, very common scripture here. It says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Father God is seeking for this kind of people. So the issue is the issue of the heart. God is looking for our hearts to be loyal and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now I want to read Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. And this is a negative side of it. And this is where we got to check our hearts this morning. And I think not just this morning, but continuously throughout our lives. It says this, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame or sick and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Okay, this is a, I know this is a very kind of scripture. But when we come to worship God, what have we come with? And He's saying, you wouldn't do it to your governor. Why do we do it to God? Isn't that true? We wouldn't do it in certain people in society, but when it comes to God, we treat Him and we don't offer Him our best. God wants all of our hearts to be in it, so that what we offer to Him is not leftovers and not our tiredness, and when we, you know, when we have nothing to really give to Him, when our hearts are not present, when our hearts are not filled with wanting to encounter Him, and we're just more concerned. And I think that's why I believe it's very important for us to learn how to quiet ourselves, because oftentimes we're so busy in life, running here about there, and the amount of things that's running here, by the time we come in the presence of the Lord, our minds are still running and our hearts are not 100% for Him, and we miss out so many things. We miss out what God wants to say to us. You see, the Bible doesn't say that there's going to be a famine of the word of the Lord, but it says there will be a famine of hearing the word of God. Oftentimes, the teachings, the doctrine, the prophetic, the word, the preceding word, what God is speaking is actually coming out. But we are too busy, or we are too concerned with other things, and we never heard what God actually has been saying. So it's not like God is not speaking, but we just haven't had an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches, because we're too busy and our hearts are not fully in it. Our hearts are not fully engaged. We're distracted. We're looking at other things. We're concerned. Other things are taking priority in our hearts, and as a result, we miss out. I can examine this even in my walk, and how this has certain things in my life has really distracted me, and I had to come back to this place of the reason why I'm here is to meet up with the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 to 32. As for you, it says this, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So everybody is excited to hear the Bible or the word. So they come to you as a people do. Now, let me stop here for example. See, these people also say the right thing. Come, let us hear what the word says. That means they kind of look spiritual, don't they? They do. Maybe they love to read the scriptures. Maybe they know the Torah by heart and they can recite any portion. I mean, they can quote this and they can quote that and they say, okay, now let's go in here. Let's go to church service. I mean, if anyone says that, wouldn't you think they're spiritual? If someone is constantly highlighting their Bibles in day and out, we say, wow. And if you're reading the Bible 10 times a year, it's like, wow. Okay, well, that sounds very spiritual. And I think those people look very spiritual too. Come, let's hear the word of the Lord. I think that sounds pretty spiritual. But unfortunately, hear what actually is said of them. The next verse, it says, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth, they show much love, but with their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. And then sometimes, you know, after a service, some people might come and say, oh, what a great message you shared. I'm thankful for that. And thank you for the encouragement sometimes. And sometimes I kind of need it. But I think beyond that, beyond the encouragement, beyond saying, oh, it's a good message, is the message, the most important thing is doing something in our lives. So it's not about, oh, what a great teacher. What a great, you know, wow, pastor. Wow, Pastor Majin, she can just shoot the scriptures like this without even looking at the Bible. Wow. I mean, all of this is great. You want to come in here. You want to be here and here. But it says, what's the problem here? Their hearts pursue their own gain. So the question here this morning is, where is our hearts? What is the condition of our hearts? And how much of it are we willing to give it to God? Half, a quarter, or 100%? I've got a statement on the next slide here. It says this. If we come to the house of God and we are more interested in our own gain, we make the house of God a house of merchandise. I put a question mark here because for each and every person, the own gain will look a little bit different. I mean, own gain means, you know, you profit yourself. But that would look a little bit different from each person. Some people might come to church and maybe have a bit of self-pity and they just want to feel accepted. And that's the main reason maybe they come to church. Okay? I'm just giving you an example, okay? Don't feel offended. All right? And some people might come for their own gains. What can I benefit from coming in this congregation? If I don't get what I want, then maybe I'll go somewhere else. So people sometimes look for their own gain rather than what God is doing. Sometimes people may come, like I said this in the past, for the food during the hospitality. They come for the purpose of knowing that there's excellent food afterwards. Some people may come And they come just to have good friends and have fun and talk about all things. And they're happy, content with just that. Now, I don't mean to say that it's wrong to have good friends. I think in the church, we should have really good friends. We should have really good relationship. We should have things to talk about. But my thing is, if fun and things that are not important, that are very trivial, is what the thing is, that we long for to come for the service and actually get to meet those people and just talk and talk nonsense. I mean, nonsense, half, whatever it is. You know, and if it's just that, for just our own gain of feeling satisfied to have been able to do that, I think we've made the house of God a house of merchandise. We've missed the point. If I've come for my own gain or for my own business, I've made the house of God a merchandise. That means anything I'm here for, am I here for my own business, my own gain? So watch this. Watch this. Nothing that we do should ever take the place of the saints coming together to have fellowship with one another. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. You know, and sometimes those other things which are not wrong take place over the fellowship and the encouragement and the edification of the saints. We are busy talking about everything else, but we never edified one another. We never talked about the Word of God. We never said, brother, sister, what's the Lord putting in your heart today? What's the Lord been, you know, like, encourage one another in the Lord. Sometimes we're just busy talking about other things. Anyway, what's the condition of our hearts? Leave you out there. I said it looks different for everybody, but is it for my own gain? Anyway, here, Matthew 15, verse 8. It says here, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Very similar idea again here. We confess with our lips, but our heart is far from God. Okay, I'm just asking each and every one of us here to just, hey, just be real and see, hey, let's consider. Now, James chapter 4, verse 8, this is what it says. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Now, we always kind of quote this verse, and we don't continue on, okay? I mean, not that you do that, but I think what I've done in the past is I always quote that bit, memorize that bit, and good. But the thing is, the next part, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your, everybody say it, your hearts, you double-minded. So we got to cleanse and purify our hearts. So God wants to draw near to Him. God wants us to draw near to Him, but there's a way to draw near to God. God is looking for worshipers, but there's a way to worship Him. God is seeking for people, but He's looking for a particular kind of people, not everybody, anybody, and, you know, worship. How do we worship God? We can worship God in any way we like. That's not a true statement. There is a way to worship God. And that's not to say there's rules and regulations. You must lift your hand. You must put your hand up. Not in that sense. But I'm talking about there is an approach to God. Obviously, that's Jesus Christ, right? Through the blood of the Lamb. But God is looking for a people that will worship Him in spirit and truth. There is a standard. There is a way to worship God. Not just any way, any while I feel. But here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, puts James, and I think it reinforces that. And let's read that together. Or maybe let's read it together. You ready? One, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the answer is very clear. How do we draw near to God? We draw near to God with a true heart. Another way of saying it would be with a sincere heart. When I come to a service, when I come before God, is my heart really sincere? Now, sometimes we're sincere, but sincere for our own gain, not God's ways, all right? Anyway, I'll talk about this in a moment. Look at the next verse here, and it's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. You getting the idea so far? It's drawing to God with a sincere and a true heart. How true are we? Now, how true are we? There's another part to this which I want to talk from 1 Timothy. It says, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Now, I've put it this way, which is, I'm going to read it again. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from sincere faith. All right? That means I got to draw near with a pure heart. I have to have a clear conscience, and my faith must be sincere. But you see, if our conscience are not clear, and if we've violated certain things, and when I say violated, it could mean a lot of things here, okay? But that means we know something is wrong, but we didn't address it, and we just keep living in that, and we're just not addressing anything. Our conscience becomes unclear. When we come before God, and we're running away from all these things, trying to hide those things, and try to find an excuse for those wrong things, we are not drawing near to God with a pure heart. For example, if you've been offended or you have some kind of bitterness and you know it's wrong, or we know it's wrong, we've got to do something about it and not live in that because we have all these things running from the inside of our hearts. That means in our hearts there's bitterness and unforgiveness and we're trying to worship God when these things here are not settled in our hearts. How then do we draw before God with a true, sincere heart? See, you can honor God with the lips. You can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But the heart is far away because of unforgiveness, because of bitterness, because of failures, or because of whatever experiences we may have had. It's a heart issue. That's why in Luke chapter 1, it says what? That many will turn to the Lord. It's the heart thing. It's not just physically a turn. No, it's a heart turn. That's the issue here. So dealing with things is not wrong. Deal with it, clear it, and move on so that we can enter into the presence of God with a clear conscience and a pure heart and sincere faith. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We want to hear, we want to see. What's the condition of our heart? Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel, very common scripture. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. It's a heart thing again, not just in the head, but from his heart. Now, obviously, the head has to do something with it too. We're not brainless people, but it starts with a heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Where is our heart when we do things? You know, maybe a couple of things I want to share really, really quickly here is, you know, and sometimes, just recently, okay, let me share it as it is, okay, and just was trying to, you know, I went to get 10 boxes of, 10 trays of eggs, 10, was it 10, I don't know, I went to buy 10 trays of eggs, anyway, now, I was kind of told by my parents, or my mom especially, when I was a kid, that when you buy eggs, check every egg just in case they're broken, because sometimes it happens. Do you know what I'm talking about? And maybe a couple of years ago, I went to buy eggs, but I was kind of, you know, head in the air, head's not quite on earth. I just bought a box, and I just went off, and I went home, and there was one or two eggs that were cracked. And I was like, oh, wasted money, 2 eggs. Anyway, but I was disappointed, and I thought, yeah, I was actually told about this, but I just didn't really bother about it. So anyway, ever since I said, okay, I'll make it a point. I'm going to check every single egg. And I was buying 10 trays of eggs. And I thought, okay, grab one. And I started checking. I'm like, second box, check, check. By the time I reached to the third box, I'm like, wow, how many times am I going to keep? I'm going to check every single egg. That means how many? That's 12 eggs times 10. It's 120 times. I'm going to check every single eggs. I was like, third box, and I said, it doesn't matter. It's 10 after all, right? I said, you know what? I'm just going to grab the 10 boxes and I was putting in the tray. And I was like, if it was yours, would you do it? You know, and so I thought like, I better do it. Because if this is the principle I'm going by, I'm going to stay to it. I'm going to use my heart to do this because my head told me something else. My head says that's 120 lifts and that's 120 checks. But my heart was like, do it well. Do it heartily. Do it with your heart. Do it unto others what you have them to do unto you. Anyway, but where is our hearts? You know, when I was still working in my IT job a few years back, I made it a purpose in my heart. I said to myself, and this is not imposing anything on you, but this is what God lay on my heart, and this is the sort of conviction and the decision that I made. I said, because you know, you have how many weeks of leave? 4 weeks of leaves a year, is that right? Let me just, I kind of forgot already, even though it's only been a year. You get 4 weeks a year, all right? And 4 weeks is not very much at all. And so I always put it in my heart that whatever leave I have, I'm going to keep it so that I can use it so that if I need to go for church, if I need to go for a camp, if I need to go for anything, I will always have enough. That means I will, do you know what I'm saying? Now, some of you might think like, he's anti-holiday and kind of stuff. No, I'm not saying that. Maybe I don't go for this kind of holiday. Anyway, I think the other church things that I do is like my holiday. because anyway, it's just great. Anyway, but the thing is, I made it a point. My heart is, I'm going to use every cent, quote unquote, of my leave to use it for God in whatever way that I know. Anytime, any moment I have leave, I'm available. That was my commitment. Okay, that was what I did, and I stayed true to it. All right. But I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say to you is, when you come, this is one area, of course. I'm not saying this is everything, but for us, when we approach the things of God, how do we treat it? All of our hearts, where is it? That was my heart, to be able to be available if I needed to go anywhere, to always have this availability. Anyway, do it heartily unto the Lord. Where is our heart? What is the condition of our hearts? Is it just confessing with the lips and our hearts are far, far away? Or are we drawing near to God with a true heart? Point number three. What must we do knowing all of this? Okay, we must consider our ways. Consider your ways. Remember, we're talking about, if you kind of forgot what we're talking about, we're talking about the goal of intimacy. So number one, I must know the revelation of God's love. Number two, it is the condition of my heart, the sincerity of my heart before God. Because if I just say I love God, but my heart is far, far away, that intimacy is not going to work. That relationship will not be built, not intimately anyway. All right, the next one here is, knowing this, we must, number three, consider our ways. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7, it says this, and this is the God saying to the people. Now, the book of Haggai was basically, they came out of the captivity. Remember the book of Daniel, they went to captivity, came out of captivity, and here they're rebuilding the temple. But when they got there, you know, got discouraged, and kind of all kinds of things happens, and they started building their own houses, which is not wrong, but the building of their houses took priority over building the house of God. And God was basically rebuking them through the prophet and saying, why is it that my house lays in ruins while you are building your house? And this is what God said. It says, verse 5 and verse 7 says the exact same thing. And I think in chapter 3, there's something very similar. It says, consider your ways. But it says this, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider it. Let's consider, all right? Let's look at our own life and consider. The issue is your ways. It's not God's ways. It's what? Your ways. Like I said, sometimes we're very sincere. We want to do things for the Lord, but you know what? It's our own ways. If you're Frank Sinatra, you will sing, I did it my way. Are you present? I think you all know this song, right? Not that I'm asking you to go and listen to it now, okay? But I'm just saying, the message of this song is basically, I did it my way. And that's the very problem. The problem is, we're doing it our way, my ways. Now, everybody got their own ways, but question is it God's ways? Right, that's where we have to have a lot of discernment. My ways, though it seems reasonable and good, may not always be God's ways. Right? Devotion. I know how to do my way of devotion. Well, yeah, but maybe God has a better way. Maybe, right? So be open to that. Is that true? Consider your ways. What are we prioritizing? Is our way leaning more to the natural compared to the spiritual? Are we prioritizing? Are we valuing the natural things over the spiritual things? Again, sometimes it's legitimate, sounds reasonable, sounds good, but is it God's ways? Is it God's best? Is it God's open door? Not every open door is God's open door, right? Is it my business versus God's business? All right, Jesus was about the Father's business at the age of 12. Most of us were about our own business by the age of 12. Consider your ways. Is it our preference versus conviction? Preferences, everybody has. I'm not talking about you like chili, I don't like chili, you like fried kway teow. I'm not talking about this kind of preference. I'm talking when it comes to eternal values, is it preference versus conviction? Because if I'm operating by preference, then I've got to consider my ways. Is it God's way or my way? And God says his ways are higher than ours. But are we operating from conviction that this is what the word says, I know it's wrong, I better do something about it. I better address it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, again, very familiar. I don't think I've used any, anyway, all simple, very, very familiar scriptures here, but Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, this is the verse I want to pick out here. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Let's remember. In other words, let's just consider and remember where it is that we went wrong. That's the one we need to go back and change. And obviously here, the answer is we got to turn to the first love and do the first works. So in other words, we can say, consider your ways and remember where you have fallen. Consider the ways. What's the goal? The goal of intimacy with God. The last point that I'd like to share here, and one very briefly on this one here. Once we've considered our ways, the next step is repentance. Repent. I'm going to reread Luke chapter 1, verse 16, and I'm going to emphasize this. This is kind of like my own amplified version, okay? Verse 16, he says, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. We're talking about the spirit and power of Elijah in John the Baptist will turn. To turn, or you can almost use the other word, repent. Because to turn is to repent. Change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. Is that true? So he's going to turn many, their hearts, of the children of Israel, the people of God, to the Lord God. To would point to what? Faith towards God. So we can't have repentance without faith, and we can't have faith without repentance. So the both are part of the same coin. But the thing here is, you know, I've been sharing out of Luke chapter 1, verse 16, and one of the things that the spirit and power of Elijah is doing is that he is turning the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers. The heart of the children, us, to the heart of Father God. It's a repenting, it's a repentance, it's a turning. Turning to him so that we can forsake our own ways and love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Again, it's a heart issue. Not just in activity, not just in what we're doing, and not just our church attendance, and they're all tick and we look good outwardly, but it's an inward message. It's an inward thing that God is after. That's why God says, you know, I love you so much. Even if you are weak, even if you are immature, but if you are at least sincere, I love you and I'm going to see to it that you get there. But if your heart is willing and if your heart is true towards me, you might mess up here and there, not on purpose, but because of the weaknesses that we have. But he says, if you are sincere and true, I'll still love you, even if you act like a baby sometimes when you shouldn't, right? Not the kind that says, well, you know, I've do it my way and I know what to do. I've got enough of spiritual things and I you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we're like that kind of attitude and rebelling against God and don't want, and you know that's wrong, don't want to come under authority, don't want to, all that kind of stuff. We come with this kind of attitude, that's rebellion, that's different. So I'll leave you with this morning is, what is our hearts like? God, the goal of intimacy, and I think from this posture, if we approach what Dino shared last week, which is what? The declaration of love, receiving his word and all the rest, you know, I think that makes it very powerful. We got to begin with the heart. If the heart is not there, no matter how much you declare you love God, God says, you liar. I do not know you, you workers of iniquity. didn't we do this and we did that? Yeah, you said you love me, you did prophesy, you did all these kind of things, but I didn't actually know you. Depart from me. So it's a heart thing. And like I said when I started here, no matter where we're at, I think it applies. I don't think that this message is, I'm too mature enough to hear that kind of message. I don't believe in this kind of attitude. I think no matter where we're at, it's a good check. And I think it's a continual check that I really got to do it myself, you know. This is the reality of it. And so there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and God is outpouring His grace, His love, and His communion. And we are all ready to receive this outpouring. Are you ready? I want this outpouring, but let's approach this with our hearts. You see, we can't make the promises of God. We can't make it happen without human effort, because it's by grace. But there are certain things we can do. The attitude, the response in faith, the things that we do that demonstrate faith, not trying to make the promise happen. This is what Abraham did, and he fell miserably and got into trouble. But I'm saying there's something that Abraham did that was faith. Anyway, I think that's another topic in itself. But what I'm trying to say here is it begins with our heart. So I want to pray this. Maybe why don't we stand to our feet as we make this prayer to the Lord. And we conclude there. Father God, I want you to respond this morning, okay? If you really feel something's not right there and you need to deal with it, then do it. Let me say one last thing is, if the heart thing is not sorted, no matter how much God is trying to say things to us, we're blocking it and we can't hear it. If you have an offense against certain people, maybe even your leaders, for example, if you had any, no matter how much they share and preach and teach, no matter what they do, there's a block, there's a wall. So I encourage you, if there's anything in the heart, we don't want to come before God offering defiled offerings and sacrifices. That's one thing that God dealt with me in 2017, very specifically. I was reading that book, and that really, really, really hit me home. Anyway, so let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. Cleanse, let our hearts be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, purified before you, so that we may have a pure heart, a clear and a good conscience, and sincere faith before you, Lord. Wash, O God, with the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name, turn our hearts. Let our hearts be turned towards you, Father God. We long for an intimate relationship with you. We want to draw closer and closer. We draw near to you this morning. We draw near to you with a sincere heart, with a true heart, and you draw near to us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that from this day onwards, your people shall be a people that is loyal in the name of Jesus. They shall be volunteers in the day of your power. They will be sincere. They will be true. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're building your church. Thank you, Lord. Your hand is touching every heart right now, healing every heart, setting free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Even right now, in the name of Jesus, let there be deliverance. I speak against every tormenting spirit that's tormenting minds and affecting hearts right now. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Every distraction, leave in Jesus' name. Every depression, leave in the mighty name of Jesus. Be free. Be free. Let there be resurrection life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God is speaking to us. Amen. We'll conclude. You repent and come to the blood of Jesus. We'll sing, it's your blood. I want you to cleanse by the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus will cleanse us, and we'll conclude in this manner.